About a week or so ago, I'm sitting in a restaurant in New Orleans. Here, right now, I'm sitting with Stephen Thompson and Robin Hilton. And music's playing, as it does in restaurants, most of which I often ignore, or the noise is so loud you don't hear. But this song began to play. You with it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A child.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world
and
in the usual way.
But I don't know how many times I've heard Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin, but it felt at that moment it was just one too many. You know what I mean?
you just maxed out.
That is it.
Like, I've really had it. It's a good song. I mean, the lyrics about a father and a son who... the father's just too busy and life just goes by, and there's a sadness and a beauty to the
song. It's a great song.
But enough.
You know, I worked at a grocery store for a number of years, and the music they played overhead was looped, and it always seemed to time out when I clocked in for my shift each day. This song would come on. I think a child arrived.
You know, how great would it have been if at that time you had a son that you were missing out on time with in order to work at the grocery store? Because this song is shorthand for guilt-tripping dad, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
But you know, one of the really important distinction about the song is it's a great song.
That's right.
It's mm-hmm. a great song.
But this show is about the songs. I'm going to title it Hallelujah, the Songs We Should Retire. And so we're going to make here a case for songs that we think are great songs, but enough.
Don't need to hear them anymore.
Don't need to hear them anymore. A little bit.
When it came to college,
you know what I mean?
Good post, Bob.
Oh my god!
And we'll kind of define it along the way, but
yeah.
we're just talking about songs that are undeniably great, but it's time to send them out to pasture.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. bet. So I'm going to let Stephen Thompson. How about that?
Well, you tipped my hand a little bit. You titled the episode "Hallelujah," the songs that we're going to retire, and the song that the first song that I want to talk about is Hallelujah. And when I think about retiring a song, I was having a conversation the other day about this idea, and the idea came up of when you retire an athlete's number.
Yeah.
When you say, like, look, no one on this team can ever represent this number the way Dan Marino did, or whatever. So you retire his number. You're not saying...
Who's Dan Marino?
Oh, jeez, Bob.
Jeez Louise. He was an Ace Ventura pet detective. so you're not saying let's never acknowledge Dan Marino ever again. You're not saying Dan Marino's bad. You're saying we're putting Dan Marino's number up on the wall, and if we want to visit it ourselves, we can. But
so if you want to play a song in your living room, go ahead.
So right, I love the song Hallelujah, as written by Leonard Cohen, as performed by Jeff Buckley. To a lesser extent, I also think Rufus Wainwright did a very nice job with it. I've talked to people who think his version is better. I've talked to people who think K.D. Lang's version is better.
And I'd go with John Cale, who sort of set the model for Jeff Buckley and verses and so forth.
It has been performed many times by many wonderful singers. And it is, I think, an objectively great song. But over time, Hallelujah has become shorthand for any time you're watching a TV show or a movie and you're trying to establish something sad is happening. And the song Hallelujah comes up, whoever's performing it. And I just think it's time to set that song aside. And I will listen to that song on my own time. It is one of my favorite songs of all time. But I think it has now become overused. Anytime a song goes from incredibly meaningful to performed on every singing show on TV, it's time to set it aside.
Okay. Let's give a listen to Mr. Jeff Buckley. How's that?
Secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
This is a beautiful song.
It really is.
And I think Leonard Cohen himself said that he considered Jeff Buckley's version kind of the definitive. It's been performed many times in many ways by many brilliant artists. The time has come to set it aside.
I wonder, and we don't have to answer this right now, but if you have one, great, which is that we need songs for occasions.
Sure.
And this fits so many occasions, and often occasions of sadness and gatherings. Think about alternatives as we...
What about the children? All the kids who are coming up now who won't hear this because we've sent it out to pasture.
And I was going to bring this up later, but maybe now's a good time to point it out. Maybe when we talk about retirement, we are simply talking about cryogenically freezing. We're talking about taking a song because new people are born every day, right?
Yeah.
A 10-year-old has not necessarily heard Hallelujah, who would love Hallelujah when they're 20. So maybe you set aside a song for cryogenic freezing to be brought out later.
I imagine, it goes to the Smithsonian, and that's where it's kept. And if you want to hear it, you have to go there, to the museum.
You have to listen to it on microfiche.
Right. And you know, it's a touring exhibit, so you hope it comes to your town, or at least the nearest big city, so you can make a trek out to catch this song. But actually, your pick of Hallelujah, it made me think of a song that wasn't on my list, but maybe should be, and that is this one.
Okay, this one's for Gabby.
Undeniable tearjerker, beautiful, best version of this ever, and so overused.
Let's listen. This is Israel Kamako Bivole, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Now that I'm hearing this, I don't know. It may fall into a category we've been talking about leading up to this show, which is the songs you can't touch.
Mm. Right. Mm,
I don't know. And I mean, yes, it's overplayed. Yes, it's overused.
I think we need to have a poll.
Yeah.
I think two things we need to do. I think one, we need to ask our listeners for the songs they want to retire, because we'll get to 10 or so here, and there are many more that need it. And then we should also, like, when we start to get the ones that seem to be in the top 10 or 15, let's do a poll. Let's do a poll that says retire,
yes or no,
untouchable.
Oh, good.
That'd
good. That's a great idea.
I mean, when you think about retiring a song, it can also mean, like, you don't get to cover this. This has been definitively done.
Yeah. Right.
And I think you could say that about Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Is.
Okay, let's say if you're out there and thinking to vote, what would you do with this song here?
I'm fine retiring this one.
Are you?
Yeah.
I thought for sure you'd be battling to keep
it. No, I'm fine.
I'm torn.
Yeah, I mean, this is one, certainly I don't think it should be covered.
I think maybe you hit the nail on the head. Because hearing John Lennon sing Imagine, still gives me chills.
Sure.
But hearing, you know, it on a whatever a commercial or hearing or like just a, any or like somewhat a, sing, some singer somewhere singing it
or like a benefit concert yeah. or something. Right. I mean, I think one of the tricky things, and you'll notice there's a little bit of a recurring theme with what we've talked about so far, which is artists who are no longer living, and sometimes in the case of Imagine, it's often associated with the artist's death.
Huh.
And so I think like. You are establishing like that is we are listening to the definitive version of this song. I don't want to hear it touched by someone else.
Okay, but I'm going to say Retire or Untouchable, and I'm going to keep that as the two choices.
Okay, okay, not like Marry or Kill.
There's,
wow,
he doesn't know that game, and it's not worth trying.
I don't
to
know
explain
what it is, but
it break
but
his
I,
brain.
I get the idea. Hang on 1 second.
But I'm not the only.
You want to take the next pick, Stephen Thompson?
Sure. So I'm going to introduce a new category, and I think you're going to know what this category is as soon as you hear the opening strains of this song.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
It is a little crazy. I know where I'm voting on this one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, is there a subcategory for take a song... put it in a pile, burn it, take the ashes, load the ashes into a rocket, blow up the rocket, feed the ashes of the rocket to an angry animal.
And send it into space.
And send that animal into space. Now, one of the criteria we were talking about is, have you ever liked this song?
Yeah.
And the first time I heard the song Happy by Pharrell, I thought, this is cute. This is charming. What a sweet little song. The world needs more little pinholes
more
of
happy.
Sunlight. More happiness. What's wrong with happiness? And then this song went through cycle after cycle after cycle on pop radio where it never went away. And he performed it at the Oscars, and that seemed to start a new wave of this song never going away. And for years, this was like the only song. And I'm so unbelievable.
Can you're so happy.
Can we turn the song off?
No.
It's still playing.
Is that what you meant?
Throws headphones across the room.
Another great post there, Bob.
I think there are songs that when we talk about retiring them, one of the things we're talking about is we're in many of these cases, we're just sick to death of them. Like, we have reached peak having heard this song. There is not a point at which hearing it again is going to do anything but trigger a certain, like, are you kidding me?
I think it's not just that we're sick of them, but that they've lost their power.
Yeah.
When you listen
it's
to them,
wallpaper.
You no longer... Yeah, they've become wallpaper. You no longer feel anything when you listen to it.
Well, I think when you feel... Oh my God, Bob, you're the worst. When you hear a song and the first thing you feel is... besieged. That's what I'm getting at here. The other song that I thought about playing, which we will not play, is the song "Shape of You" by Ed Sheeran, which
most
is,
streamed song of all time on Spotify, over 1.5 billion plays.
And think about that: streaming is voluntary.
They actually did that. They went and actually played the song.
But somewhat. Voluntary too.
Yeah,
if you listen to a
depends.
playlist, it could just pop up on a playlist. But yeah,
that's true. It certainly implies. I mean, given how many times it's been streamed on YouTube, sometimes that pops up too. I guess anyway,
yeah.
That song will not go away. He had a whole nother single after "Shape of You" that came and went, and "Shape of You" is still all you hear on the radio. Anyway, that should also be fired into the sun.
I have a
songs we should fire into the sun.
That implies like this massive government you know, organization, you know, where
here
all the
for
forces
it.
Are marshaled.
We pay taxes, we should do this.
I was going to say, about time my tax dollars were spent the way...
We have to involve NASA, international, all kinds of international
treaties. I'm
really
in favor of censorship.
Jeez. I want to play the when you first offered or pitched this idea to me, Bob. Instantly, this is the song
I
thought of.
Great.
Had to give it no thought.
Long, long
Yeah.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
How many drives have I been on with the windows down? And I'm just feeling life, right? I feel so alive, and I'm getting the whole mystery of life in this one song. And I don't really ever need to hear it ever again. It's been 40 years of it.
I worked in a record store at the time this record came out, and how many times we played that song over and over again.
Oh, I
bet. How many people asked for that song? It can.
Do you have that? It's like America, and it's
like Something Died, The Music Died song.
The Day The Music Died.
Yeah. Oh,
yes. Yes, I think we do.
But I still think it's a wonderful, great song.
It's a great song.
One of the all-time greats.
So we're talking about Don McLean's American Pie. I don't think you've mentioned the name of the artist or the title.
Because here it comes, right? Let's hear it.
So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day
I'm torn because I think of my 2-year-old and my 5-year-old. If I played this for them, they'd love it. And they'd just want to hear it more.
This is why I'm talking about cryogenic freezing. Because I do like this song. But I also, and I will tell you, there are people who remain obsessed with this song and who are still picking apart the mythology of this song. I was interviewed for a piece on BBC America about this song and why this song endures.
35 years after it came out.
Yeah,
or something.
And probably on an anniversary or something like that. So, I mean, this song does still fascinate a lot of people. My other defense of this song is I really like this record. I really like this album. There are other gorgeous songs.
Vincent is
a favorite of mine. Yeah. I'm Don McLean, talented dude. But this song.
So where are you going on this? Are you saying we should? This is untouchable, Steve?
Oh, I mean, would I say untouchable? I don't want to hear.
There's two choices, Steve.
Okay, I don't want to hear a cover of it.
Nobody's going to cover this song. I mean, this is one of those great songs that actually people didn't cover. Thank goodness.
You don't think there weren't big group sing-alongs at the end of some big festival concert or something or benefit? Or
it's not a well-covered song, not like Yesterday or something.
Right. And here's another thing, though. If you hate this song, the way I hate, let's say, Paradise by the Dashboard Light by Meatloaf, maybe my least favorite song of all time. The issue with it that a lot of people have, Bob is signaling Robin to play it, the issue that people have with it when they hate it is I hate it and it's so long.
It goes on for absolute ever.
And so if it is a song that makes you miserable when you hear it, it's especially punishing. It's three times as punishing as a shorter song you don't like.
Yeah, let this one go on a little bit.
Well, I remember every little thing.
I can't.
No, I... Oh.
Yeah. Thank you, Meatloaf.
You know, Bob, you have a pick that falls under this category that it won't stop.
Oh. Yeah.
This bird can sing. Free bird.
So where do you all come down on this?
Totally retire this one.
I'd totally retire this one. I see Stephen's pain.
This song means
in the face.
So much to so many people.
I would say it's become a parody of itself. It's been so used that nobody takes it seriously.
Here's
anymore.
What I think should be retired.
Nobody takes this song seriously.
Here's what should be retired. I'm going to say don't retire this song. This song means a lot to a lot of people. I'm going to say retire the art, and this should have been done decades ago, retire the act of calling out Freebird at concerts.
I think that's died out, though. I mean,
I think it has too.
I still hear it every now and then.
Really?
I mean, it's usually coming from me, but it is said at concerts.
And for someone who's 14 years old who doesn't know what we're talking about, can someone just explain Freebird and calling out Freebird?
Bob, I think you're the best qualified.
As the one who was around the most when this song was out,
You know, it's just anthemic. It's the ultimate like
lighter waving.
Lighter, yeah, it's lighter's
put,
up.
Put your hands in the
Lynyrd
air,
Skynyrd.
Wave your cigarette lighter. It's a Lynyrd Skynyrd song. And calling out Freebird is the idea of calling out that thing that you
and
want so bad.
Anytime there's some big goodbye
yeah.
on TV or films, I don't know what it is, it's Freebird is what they call up. Like, I think when Conan O'Brien, when he, after his short run as the host of The Tonight Show, Will Ferrell came out and did a version
this,
of Freebird.
You mean?
If I leave here tomorrow.
How did you know?
Read your mind, buddy.
And I would say, like, that moment on TV was, like, that's when I started thinking, like, this song has now become, it's, they're not doing it sincerely, I didn't think. I thought they're making a joke out of it because they know it's become this cliche.
Right.
So the song has lost its power, I think, and it's time to hang up that jersey.
I think in the same way that we were talking about with Hallelujah. I mean, if you remember Kate McKinnon coming out on Saturday Night Live and singing Hallelujah
right.
as Hillary Clinton.
And I wanted so much, my shoulders kind of sank a little when she did that, only because I thought, this is the best you can come, this
right.
is like, this is so,
this is
such
your
a
commentary
cliche.
After
yeah.
the most momentous
right.
election.
Yeah.
yeah.
And she had done a brilliant Hillary Clinton. I'm not taking anything away from that. But that moment with that, I thought that song choice was kind of, I don't know, weak.
Hang on a minute.
I mean, yes, I mean, the fact that it was done by a comedian didn't help its case at all, but...
Well, but there is also, like, we've been canceled, so you know what? Here's the show. Here's your show, everybody.
That's Will Ferrell singing Free Bird on The Tonight Show in January of, what, 2010 or something. So,
you know what? Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have something that is decidedly not rock.
Okay.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wells Fargo, funders of a grant to Coalfield Development Corporation, where Adam Warren trains Appalachians for jobs in solar installation.
Coalfield Central mission is to help rebuild the Appalachian economy from the ground up. We can still produce energy in this state and still be an industry leader, just in a different way.
Wells Fargo is building better every day. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/better.
So we're back. We're talking about songs we should retire, and joining us is Tom Heisinger, NPR Music's classical expert, who's going to, like, put something on.
Well, we started talking in the office, like, is there anything in jazz or classical
right.
that, like...
Definitely. There's plenty. There's Blue Danube Waltz, Pachelbel's Canon in D, mm-hmm. O Fortuna from Carmina Burana by Orff, Chopin's Minute Waltz... But I, as much as I love Wagner, I ended up with Ride of the Valkyries. Mm-hmm. I think we could retire that.
Well, this one here?
Oh, yeah.
But the soaring strings.
Yes.
When did it reach its pinnacle in terms of becoming part of our popular culture? In this country, would you say when it appeared in Apocalypse Now, that was it? Like, it was at that point?
Yeah.
It was in everybody's ear?
Absolutely. And, of course, if you remember the scene from Apocalypse Now, I mean, it just kind of proves that this piece of music also kind of has some, a kind of a patina of nastiness about its association. So that's, of course, as this swarm of helicopters is dropping napalm on innocent villagers. But then, before that, in 1915, it appeared in D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, which is a very controversial film for its racist overtones. And then...
Its racist tones.
Yes. Let's just say it how it is. Then, of course, there's What's Opera Doc, the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
I was going to say, that was my first yeah. First.
I think a lot of people, their first exposure was with Kill the Wabbit, you know. Yeah. But
North winds blow! South winds blow!
It is amazing how much cartoons have shaped the way, certainly, I view music. I was listening to a classical station the other day, and The Barber of Seville came on, and I was like, oh, this is The Barber of Seville. And it was like, how did you, the person I was in the car with was like, how did you know that? I'm like, I can picture Elmer Fudd being tormented to this song.
Oh yeah, Bugs Bunny is massaging
yeah,
his head
yeah.
during that. But But, you know, and then there's the, so Wagner, as much as he is great as a composer,
a musician, yeah.
As a man, not so much. And that always reminds me of that Woody Allen line in the Manhattan Murder Mystery where he and Diane Keaton are walking out of the Metropolitan Opera and he says, you know, I just can't listen to any more Wagner, you know. I get the urge to conquer Poland. So, I mean, we hear it too much. And not only have we heard it in television and films, as people... you know, they're apt to sing it, you know, whether in a bar or to punctuate some joke of theirs, to you know, to sing a little da 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 da, and yeah, you know, it gets tiresome.
Would you say, though, undeniably great song, but it's lost its power?
Well, I'd say undeniably great music. I mean, you've got these the piece opens the third act of Die Walküre, and you've got these. Layers of brass and strings, the melodies in the brass, you got these layers that build and build and build, and about three quarters of the way through it, then the whole orchestra just cranks on in crushingly with a piccolo soaring up at the top. And then you've got singing in it too, because after all, this from an opera. So it's very powerful, very well-built music, but, you know, I think we can give it a rest.
Yeah.
My pick would have been Pachelbel's Canon. I mentioned that this morning, but...
I'm not sure that's the greatest piece of music in the world, frankly. For me, it's a little bit of a one-trick pony, you know?
But that song is everywhere. It's like at every wedding.
Mm-hmm. Well, so is the Albinoni Adagio.
Play that.
So another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doo-doo-doo.
Yeah. Did you ever see the film Gallipoli?
Yes.
This was used in a very stirring moment in that movie.
So here's another one that could go.
Yeah. I'm going to play some.
Lo, go forth and multiply.
I still love this song, though.
And I'm going to play something completely different. Tom, if you want to escape, this is your this is your opportunity.
Your last chance. Oh, no, I got to hear this.
You ready?
All right. Oh. Ouch.
So, Bob, you're admitting, Bob, that this was a great song.
It wasn't. It had all of the kind of the hooks that a great rock song should have. You know, this is taking care of business. It's Bachman Turner Overdrive, and oh my God. And I'm gonna let him. Actually, I'm not gonna let him sing. I'm gonna.
Bob, I can do it if you want.
No, okay. This is even better. Okay. I'm watching an Office Depot commercial here. and this is sort of like why some of our songs that we think are great are now awful, because they've been used in places that they never should have been played in, and used for every occasion that the song could possibly fit in by music supervisors, by advertising folks.
And sometimes it's just a simple one-time association. If you think about the song Stuck in the Middle with You by Steeler's Wheel, like, you cannot hear that song now and not think of a guy's ear getting cut off in Reservoir Dogs.
Bob has no idea what you're talking about.
But go on.
Well, I can't hear it. Right.
Okay, how about this? This may be the third rail of rock song retirement.
Oh, yeah. What do you do about this? The Stairway to Heaven?
The Stairway to Heaven problem. Mm. How do we, the question.
The Stairway to Heaven conundrum.
Probably, I mean, there's a very good argument that this is the greatest rock song of all time.
Right. Okay, so our combined ages are fairly up there if you average us out. I know I skew
the
average a little
buster,
higher.
Bob.
But we have... we have Sal in here, who's our intern, and Sal actually doesn't even have headphones on. Would you, Stephen, give me your headphones? Sal, step up to the microphone.
All right, Sal, you're on.
Have you ever heard this song before?
Do you know what this is?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's Stairway to Heaven, but to be honest, I haven't like religiously listened to this song.
Are you not yet sick of it?
No, not at all. I feel like I may have heard this like two or three times.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sal, you're about to have a religious experience.
I don't think so.
I don't think you can say that to the interns.
Oh, okay. Yeah, as a manager.
What did you just say?
I said, I don't think so. Wow. I think you should chuck this one.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Really?
It's not nearly their best song.
What?
It might be their most popular song. It's certainly not Led Zeppelin's best song. No possible way.
I wouldn't call it their best song, but it is certainly an amazing rock song. Let's give this a minute.
I mean, we have to wait 8 minutes before we
get
to the
That's true.
That's
yeah. You gotta get it.
Okay.
I don't have the attention span for that.
Millennials.
Perfect. Headphones off. Give them back to Steven.
Okay. Wait a minute. I've got another possible third rail one. Then you tell me about what you think of this one.
No, this has got to stay.
Untouchable.
I think this is untouchable. Because of humor.
Still has
too.
Its power.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think this falls actually in a way in the same category as Stairway to Heaven, which is you cryogenically freeze it for 10 to 20
no,
years.
No, I wouldn't freeze it. I like this song when it comes on. It makes me laugh.
And laugh.
It does. It's got
because
I mean,
it's
got,
it,
because
it,
I just
it
shot
was
a
in
guy
Wayne,
in a
Wayne's World.
It's got that, but there's so much humor in this song and the production and so forth. They're playful. They're
isn't funny. It's a very dark song.
It's a dark song.
And,
that's
and it's also
produced.
Just well, it just rocks.
Well, I mean, of course, I like it because it's a little miniature opera within itself. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and I like it because it was in Wayne's World.
Wayne's World, Bob, was a movie.
I actually saw Wayne's World.
Oh, you did. Not.
I did. It's one of my 7 movies.
I think I'm tired of hearing this song in commercials.
That's true. Wait. Too, but I'm not tired of this. Right? Every single head is bobbing. One second. This is the moment. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, this song shouldn't go anywhere.
Right. Okay, so one more. Give me that chord.
I will say something happens with a lot of these songs like this. You've heard them so many times, they become wallpaper. You forget that it was actually an incredible song, yeah. Right? Like, Hey Jude. Like, I've heard Hey Jude so many times.
Well, that's what happens in classical music, too. Beethoven's Fifth is the most popular symphony in the world, but if you're sitting in the audience and you hear a good performance of it, it's massively powerful.
I'm going to play this.
Same
band, different song. What do we do?
My kids request this all the time.
If I'm in a stadium, they can play whatever they want.
Give me your headphones.
I love that we're basically using our intern as a lab rat.
Wait, what did you want from me on this? Retire it?
Retire it or keep it?
I think We Are the Champions has to be retired before
this. This is, before this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the priority.
I tell you what, though, when Brian May's guitar kicks in at the end of that song, it's pretty awesome.
I'm willing to forgive sports anthems. Like, if something still sounds great in a stadium, I don't think it needs to go anywhere.
The other question is like, in the case of what Tom picked, there are moments in movies that require that thing. That building, in the case of
Wagner. Get a good music supervisor. Pick a different.
I mean,
song.
I think John Williams stole from that. Don't you think?
Oh, I think John Williams has stolen from many people. Right. That's another discussion.
But what do you replace "We Will Rock You" with? What do you replace? What is it that you put in its place?
Oh, wait! Bring it back up. Hear the little synth line creeping in. Just wait for this. It is pretty great. All right.
Well, listen, I think our time is just about up in here. I think we go out on this. We put up a poll, retire or keep it, and we'll let our audience decide from here. Thanks, everybody, for doing this.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Brian May. Thank you, Freddie Mercury. Trump Music, it's All Songs Considered.